There's a certain place in America where you can see all of Europe, in a sense. It's the rooftop terrace of the Kennedy Center here in Washington, D.C. For several months, tourists and art patrons have been taking the elevator up to look out over the city and the Potomac River and to stroll through a collection of 30 new sculptures. There are two from each member of the European Union. The exhibition is titled Connecting Worlds and is supposed to be a demonstration of European unity and cultural excellence. Even so, Connecting Worlds has encountered hurdles, Alex Van Os reports.
At first, one of the European Union nations didn't even want to take part in the project. Then there was upset when one of the major wine-producing countries almost got left off the wine list at the opening event for Connecting Worlds. It can be challenging sometimes for Europeans to work together in seamless unity, even on an art exhibition.
You can draft guidelines and you can try to be specific in those guidelines, but to make 15 governments, 15 cultural administrations, culture councils, our own people here in Washington, all read those guidelines in the same manner, that is a challenge in itself.
Bart Hendricks thought up the Connecting Worlds project. He's the cultural counselor for Flanders at the Belgian embassy. The idea was to introduce Americans to the best in contemporary art from the EU.
The perception in the United States of European art is usually associated with older art, Baroque, Renaissance art, Rubens, Van Dyck.
What Hendricks and his EU cultural counselor colleagues decided to do was bring over 30 contemporary sculptures, two from each country. Good idea, major headache, dealing with statues made out of everything from stone to steel and even fake fur.
It was somewhat of an issue. The work of Pedro Hirs, he was a little bit concerned because he was using beeswax to cover his abstract figure in the exhibition. And when I told him it could get up to about 100 once we get to June, he was in as part of a panic.
What they didn't reckon with was the force of Mother Nature. The exhibition's venue is in one of the most prominent and exposed places in all of Washington, the rooftop terrace of the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. It's got a glorious view and a killer wind, and it's right on the flight path to the airport. Nancy Westman from the Swedish embassy helped select her country's sculptures.
When I first saw these two pieces by Lars Englund, one of the Swedish artists, I saw them in a very confined room, and I knew that they would be much better here on a terrace with a sky above them. These pieces out of charred oak, and that was essential to me, that they were out of oak rather than aluminum or steel or something, because he's made them out of that kind of material also. But that again caused problems because it took about a week after the opening and they blew off their hinges. Fortunately, they weren't ruined. I mean, they had.
Around the corner is a work from Greece, practically the home of Western sculpture. But this one is no classical marble. Here, artist Christina Saradopoulou has forged a huge grillwork metal ball that sits frozen halfway up a metal incline. Counselor Connie Martoupolis from the Greek embassy says this ball and slope represent the classic myth of Sisyphus, who so angered the gods that he had to spend eternity pushing a giant rock up a hill over and over again.
This particular artist has taken the myth of Sisyphus and has depicted it in a very nice way. And when you look at it, you don't really feel sorry for Sisyphus, because that process in itself, pushing that rock up the hill as best as he can and as well as he can and as beautifully as he can, is his purpose in life. And this artist's conclusion is that there's really not that terrible to be someone like Sisyphus. There's beauty in the way you push up a rock or let it fall down the cliff.
Martoupolis says the ball was motorized originally to move it up and down the incline, but that ran against safety rules, so they turned it off. In fact, there were a lot of rules at the Kennedy Center. The sculptures couldn't scratch or crush the marble terrace or be too big or heavy, and no bolting them down to the floor either. From the Belgian embassy, Bart Hendricks.
The British wanted to, actually they came up with what they called a large wooden egg. And it was a solid oak egg weighing over 2 tons on a surface, actually, of not more than a couple of square feet. That, of course, was totally impossible. And a couple of days later, they came back to us and they said, oh, great, we have found a new statue. It only weighs about 3 tons.
One whole side of the Kennedy Center terrace was decked with ribbons stretching from pillar to pillar. This is an Italian installation by Maria Dompei. Into the ribbons, Dompei stuck hundreds of roses. Trouble is, says Nancy Westman, this is the kind of sculpture that wilts.
It has its problems because the roses tend to wither and become less like roses than just sticks, but maybe that's also part of the process.
The Danes got around the sun and wind problem by putting one of their sculptures indoors, not out. But the other work, by Ella Jorgensen, sits outside on the corner of the rooftop terrace. It's nothing more than piles of building blocks. From the Danish embassy, Councillor Liz Fredriksen says this work, called Horizons, harkens to Denmark's most famous plastic toy, Legos. But these chunky blocks are made of aluminum.
People are walking around and moving these small bricks around and building their own horizon and building their own viewpoints and using their own imagination. It's really very simple. It's kind of like when children are playing. Even the mayor, Anthony Williams, he stood there playing quite a long time and kind of building additional houses to his own city. That was quite funny. I watched him. He enjoyed himself. So there's kind of a child in the mayor of Washington, D.C., if you should know.
By popular demand, the Connecting Worlds exhibition has been extended at the Kennedy Center through August. After that, the statues split up and go on to other venues in the United States and back to Europe. For NPR News, I'm Alex Van Oss in Washington.